Well, greetings. Welcome to the Dividing Line. Sorry, we're a couple minutes late. I just did Iron Sharpens Iron with Chris Arnzen, so did 2 hours there. And here we are. And I'm not sure how long this is going to last. Because I'm just going to tell you. Nobody challenged me to do this. And if someone were to ask me what the reasons why I'm doing it would be, I'm not really sure. But I came up with a wild idea at the beginning of the week. I think I just looked something up using Garmin. If any of you are runners or riders and out there, you know what Garmin is, you know what Strava is. And Garmin's where I keep all my stuff from my cycling and things like that. And have for many, many years, so it goes back a long ways. And I was looking something up, and I discovered that the longest distance I had ever covered on a bike in 7 days, so that my biggest week, and that was a Monday through Sunday week, because there's different ways of dividing it up. But that gave me the longest one, was just under 650 kilometers, which is what? Close to 400 miles, somewhere around there, maybe a little under 400 miles. And I don't know why. Some people might say it was a demonic spirit. I'm feeling that way about now. But I decided that I was going to... Now, this is what's freaky. So stay, hang with me here for a second. This is what's weird. And I didn't tell you about this. I decided to go to see if I could do 7 metric centuries in a row. Now, metric century is 100 kilometers, is 100-kilometer bike ride, which is 62.1 miles. And I've done back-to-back metrics before, and I did a 150-miler in one day recently. So, okay. But 7, at my age, you don't get to recover. So I'm not getting recovery right now. So you're really, really, really pushing yourself big time. And I've done 5 to, as of this morning, 500 kilometers into this ridiculous thing. Here's what's weird. Okay, all of us have these stories, but this is the weirdest one. I'm literally looking at Garmin, and I'm running the numbers, doing the report function and stuff like that. I'm like, huh? Now, I have not said anything about it. I've not typed anything about it. I've only thought about it. And then something else happened. You know how it is when you're on your computer. And I follow something to YouTube. And I look at it and go, okay. And then I look over in the right-hand column. You know what's in the right-hand column? Not the ads, the videos. There is a video from GCN, Global Cycling Network. And I've watched a lot of GCN stuff. I'm a cycling fan, and the big tours are coming up. The classics are just got Liège-Bastogne-Liège was just happened, and so yeah, I follow all that stuff, and so I've watched GCN. In fact, I watched a GCN video to learn how to change to do the proper adjustment on my chain on my bike and stuff. So okay. But I look over there, it's normally populated with Star Trek stuff, okay? You know, 10 secrets you didn't know about Voyager. Okay, whatever. And I look over, I've told no one. And here's a video. You know what the video is about? Doing 7 metric centuries in a row from GCN. You can look it up yourself. I hadn't said it out loud. So you can't blame my phone. I hadn't typed it to anybody. I had just been thinking about that would give me my distance record. And it's pretty much between 2 hours and 45 minutes and 3 hours and 15 minutes, depending on the route each day. I've got plenty of books to read. You know, I've said nothing to anybody. And here's an advertise link. And I watched it. To a video about a guy who did 7 metric centuries in a row just to see what it felt like. And believe me, I know what it feels like. So I don't know. You think maybe the camera is like reading your eyes. This is a little freaky. There's no two ways about it. But anyway, some 500 kilometers in, we got 200 kilometers to go. Last two are 200. Everybody will tell you, when I did my first 100-mile bike ride, thankfully I had someone to warn me. DL warned me. The last 10 miles is 90% of the ride when you do your first 100. After you've done 50 of them or more like I have, that's not the case. But when you're first doing it, that's the hardest part. And these last two, especially because I'm going to be doing them outside, far from home. So keep your phone on, Rich. I'm going to be out your direction. So if all of a sudden, you know, the thing just goes empty, ding, ding, hits the thing, vacuum empty, you know, I might be giving you a call. I don't know. We'll see. We will see. I don't know why I do things like this. I really, really do not. It's insanity, but you get some good stuff listened to. So that's why I don't know how long this program is going to last, because I've already done 2 hours on a tough subject with Chris Irons, and we were talking about the sermon that I did on the five foundations for survival and persecution and the things we need to be doing now. So go to Iron Sharpens Iron and check that out. I didn't just sit there and watch it. I watched the beginning of it. It's hard for me to remember what life was like only a few years ago, because it has changed so much in only a few years, and especially over the last year. But I'm literally sitting there watching all these vaccinated yet still double masked politicians walking into a socially distanced chamber where you can't sit in certain seats. And I know it's all theater. It's completely theater. And I am sitting there going, I wonder what the Chinese and the North Koreans and the Russians and the Iranians and everybody with nuclear bombs is thinking right now. Here is the American leadership. Wow, they're threatening, aren't they? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and what's her face? Up there. And that's the American leadership. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, I wanted to listen to enough of it to put a context. And I just can't think back now to what I would have thought in 2017, in 2010, in 2000. But I can guarantee you one thing, in 2000, the entire nation, if that had happened, let's put the masks away and the social distancing insanity. If someone had stood in that chamber as President of the United States in the year 2000, and said the things that were said last night, the first thing that would have been said on any cable news network was, when did the communists take over? Because that's what you had. It's the slow boil thing, I guess, that we don't recognize this, but you had, I mean, right now there's a lot of discussion going on in Twitter about a tweet from whoever represents themselves as Joe Biden. Joe Biden does not tweet. I can assure you of that. That's why there are no more mean tweets. They're just communist tweets, which are much better, according to some people, I guess. That's Pravda. Pravda is doing, that's. Pravda is alive and well. But he's got this tweet where what they want to do, I mean, he's swinging so, not he, the regime is swinging so far left because it's like they've gone, hey, we can do what we want. There are no restraints on us. We can spend all the money We want to spend. We have no concerns about ever defaulting on anything. We're never going to pay any of this out. We're just going to keep printing it and printing it and printing it. So we can spend trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, and it's all going to be good. So let's do it. Let's do everything we've wanted to do. Let's turn America into Moscow, into Beijing, and let's do it as fast as we can. And let's just drop all the pretenses. So we want your children. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to tell you this is to help you. This is to help you so you can work 60 hours a week. Because we need to have somebody working. Because we're paying all the other folks not to. I was just looking at a tweet of a restaurant guy in California. They, you know what they're having to start their dishwashers at? Did you ever dishwash? You had a dishwash. Yeah, I dishwashed. That was my first job in a restaurant. I had to dishwash. You know what they're starting their dishwashers at? The only way they can get dishwashers? $21 an hour. $21 an hour. Because most people are like, government's giving me enough. I'll live on. So this is going to be your universal basic income. You're going to owe everything to Uncle Sam. You're going to have no personal property of yourself. This is the state taking over. This is how it happens. It's happened every single time in the past. Nobody seems to care. He is saying, and they're presenting it, won't this be helpful? We'll take your kids starting at 3 years of age. And we won't just keep them through 12th grade. We'll give you 2 more years after that. Think about it. 16 years of government indoctrination of your children. And everybody's sitting around going, well, that sounds sort of nice. Because we don't have an educational system. Children aren't taught to think anymore. They're taught what to think. Is that even disputable? I mean, so many people in the educational system themselves are defending the idea that that's what you should do, that we have to do that. We can't have radicals because they're the radicals. So if you're not one of them, then you're the radical, you see. 16 years of public indoctrination so as to produce the best communist drones ever, who will never question anything. So that when Big Brother says, roll up your sleeve, we have a new thing to inject you with, don't ask us, just do it. We just go, yes, sir, Big Brother, I trust you. 16 years. We can't produce literate people now, so we need more time. That, along with the Equality Act. Yes, the Equality Act. The end of constitutional government in the United States. That's what it is. Once you gut the First Amendment, you no longer have the Constitution. You need to understand the nature of tyranny. And yet so many of us, I don't know what it is. It's a stupor. Are unwilling to just open our eyes and go, yeah, there it is right in front of me. How did it get there? Obviously, and I'm not the only one that's come to this conclusion, but obviously, we all saw how in the run-up to the 2020 election, everybody that was beating up on Joe Biden all of a sudden all dropped out at the same time, and they all now have positions in the Biden administration, except for one. And I hadn't thought about this so much myself. I didn't think he'd ever make it through. But you know what? I'm starting to see the wisdom of this. He just looks so harmless. He just looks so old and frail and decrepit, and he's harmless. So when a harmless guy, a harmless old grandpa guy, stands up, we're all in this together. We all need to get vaccinated together. And we need more than 12 years with your children. But you can trust me with your children, right? Because I'm Grandpa Joe. I wouldn't hurt a flea. Now, I don't believe for a second the man has almost anything to do with the running of this regime. Other people are doing it. He's just a puppet. But that's why he was put there. That's why he was put there. He's a benign, non-threatening picture of full-on global technocratic tyrannical socialism and of the Constitution as we know it. End of it. That's why you're going to get Washington, D.C. as a new state so you can control the Senate. You're going to get rid of the filibuster. You're going to pack the court. And personally, 2022, I hear the people talking. You're going to look at me and you're going to say, and this is what's going to be said. It is your civic duty. It is your patriotic duty to believe the election results. And I just sit here and go, you people have not read anything from Cuba, Venezuela, all the Eastern Bloc countries under Soviet domination. You had to profess your acceptance of the election. But everybody knew who was going to win and why. There wasn't any question about it. But that's old history. We don't worry about that. So you repeat it over and over and over again. Wow. So we look at this regime. I have not once called it the other name because the other name has a meaning that this regime does not live up to. When you administer something, when you set up an administration, you are administering a consistent body of law. That's not what's going on here. These people do not care. I just point out to you that Hunter Biden is being given millions of dollars and teaching positions. And Rudy Giuliani is getting raided by the Justice Department. There are the people who strolled through the Capitol on January 6th are the worst revolutionaries since the Civil War. But Antifa can blow up buildings and nobody cares. There's now two sets of laws in the nation. One for them and one for us. And again, that's how it's worked all along. In every banana republic, in every socialist revolution, that's what you get. Why? It's a worldview issue. Believe it or not, it's a worldview issue. Because you see, all this stuff about due process, about the lady holding the scales, you know, and she's blindfolded, you see. Why is she blindfolded? Because she's a Christian theist. That's why she's blindfolded. But we can't have Christian theism in the public square anymore. So the blindfold is gone. And so she just goes, oh, you're for the party? You win. You're against the party? You lose. That's why she was blindfolded, you see. Because the facts, the truth, was to determine what justice is. Not anymore. It's your party affiliation. It's whether you support the party. And it almost seems to me that there are a bunch of people sitting around going, come on, this is not possible. We read about this stuff in 1984. We read Brave New World. Everybody did. We all read Fahrenheit 454, 451, whatever it was. Depends on paper, I guess, 451. We all know about all that stuff. No one could get away with that. Yeah, that spinning sound is Orwell in his grave going, you idiots, it was meant as a warning, not as a textbook. But it's being used as a textbook. The Ministry of Truth already exists. There are people in the Congress of the United States, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, across Europe, and they want a ministry of truth. They want a global ministry of truth, and there already is one. It's called Google. It's called Facebook. It's called Twitter. Ministry of Truth already exists, and you know they're communicating with one another. You know they are cooperating with one another. And so you now have government and big tech, corporations, all doing the same thing. And the hypocrisy is explosive. But remember, I've even made it, you know, I've made a meme up. I don't have it on this system. I need to. But I took that Dalrymple quote and I made a meme out of it. So I can just simply post it every time. Because I see Christians over and over again going, but that is so hypocritical. Don't you see the double standards? And they do. Nancy Pelosi knows all about the double standards. Kamala Harris knows all about the double standards. Joe Biden doesn't know what day it is. But they know about the double standards. And it's purposeful. Absolutely purposeful. It is meant to degrade you. It is meant to tell you, no. One standard for us, different standard for you. If you want the standard we get to live by, you get to join our party. Because there's only one party that's going to be allowed from now on. Just one. As they did in California. That's what they're doing to the United States. We warned, too late, maybe not loud enough, but that's the situation. And I just think there are just so many people that because you can still go down to the grocery store, and you can still buy your favorite foods, and because the riots really seem to be far away from my backyard, I can still sit in my backyard and it's fairly quiet and yeah, I can hear a few gunshots once in a while, but that's just down at the Rios. That's just down at the apartments on the corner, and they don't tend to come into the neighborhood all that much. And so, you know, my day-to-day world seems to be clashing from what I'm seeing going on in the nation. Problem is, eventually they coalesce, and by the time they coalesce, it's too late. And my concern is that people my age understand our complicity in all of this, how we loved our stuff so much that we allowed our nation to commit suicide, in essence. But then to communicate to the younger people that this path leads to self-destruction, please, while you still can, find real histories, because they will rewrite these. That's why books get banned. That's why every dystopian novel has a banishment of books and burning of books. Because if you look into history, you discover that the people who are using you now have always tried to use you. But you don't want people to be able to see that. And so, while you can, young people, find out what this leads to. You don't believe us? Look at history. Look at history. See what happened. Find out what the Stasi prison was. Find out who the Khmer Rouge were. And realize that the reason these people could do the things they did, the reason that Stalin could kill millions of Ukrainians slowly by starvation, purposefully, fully knowing it, while paying Western journalists to turn a blind eye. The reason he could do that has to do with Romans chapter 1. It has to do with worldview. And the reason that we built a society where you could even make a case, make a strong case, that it shouldn't matter what the color of your skin was in a court of law. Oh, but we violated that. And it was wrong. Why? Because we knew. We had the foundation to know. Due process is a Christian idea. Innocent until proven guilty is a Christian idea. It came from the Bible. Oh, well, it came from English common law. Where do you think they got it from? It came from Scripture. And a society that views man as the creature of God is a society that will order itself very differently from a society that views man as an ugly bag of mostly water. And I'm going to tell you now, the end result of a totalitarian state based on secularism is the fundamental destruction of the human race. Now you might say, but you don't believe that can happen. No, but I do believe that the greater the enemy to the truth is, the greater its destruction must be in being placed under the feet of Christ. And so I look at history, and there have been some dark, dark times. And in that process, Christ was building his kingdom. So there can be dark times in the future. And that's why we need to be prepared for those times. We need to have deep foundations. But we cannot be naive. I'm just stunned at how many Christians are so easily taken in by the most, well, it's pure emotionalism. It's just appeal to emotion rather than to unchanging standards. I know it's become somewhat of a too oft repeated phrase, but by what standard? We don't seem to get the idea of what that really means. And we've traded in the standard that allowed for a meaningful approximation to justice in this life. That's the point. That's the point. How many times have I said this? I know it's getting tiring. I'm sorry. But the difference, see, Christians seek to approximate God's justice as best as our situation in this world can, based upon God's law and God's revelation that mankind is made in his image. But we know that there will be a day that's coming when cosmic justice will be done. Final justice. That's why in Acts chapter 17, Paul said, God's proven he's going to do this by raising Jesus from the dead, because he's going to do the judging. Wow. That's a pretty good proof. The empty tomb. Right up there. Can't really see it where my... There it is. There. There we go. We were covering over the empty tomb. We don't want to cover over the empty tomb. We'll just aim it up here like that, and you just have to adjust the volume accordingly. There is the empty tomb up there. That's the proof that there will be a day of judgment. There's going to be cosmic justice. Once you deny that, once you do not believe there will ever be cosmic justice, then you have to conflate present justice with cosmic justice. You have to try to do cosmic justice now. We can't do it. And when we try, we make a mess out of everything. That's why in God's law, you had strict standards of proof for accusation. So much so that if you accuse somebody else of doing something and it turns out that you're just trying to get them in trouble, that whatever the penalty for what they would have gotten if they were found guilty has to be applied to you. Now, that won't work in a secular society because someone might get away with something. And God's made us. We don't want people to get away with anything. Isn't that interesting? We want to get away with it, but we don't want anybody else to get away with it. Hypocrites, aren't we? But the point is, once you don't have cosmic justice, once you don't have a day of justice coming, then you've got to do it in this life. And that's why people are willing to throw away biblical standards of evidence. Because we can't let anybody get away with it, which means, yeah, we might incarcerate. We might enslave, because that's what incarceration is. We might enslave innocent people. But it's okay, as long as we don't let anybody get away with anything. Wow. Think about what that means. Think about where that'll go. It's astonishing. So last night, the president of the United States, or the people writing for the president of the United States, and I know that's always true. I know, you know, Reagan had something to do with writing some of his stuff because he was one of the funniest guys ever, too. He could turn a phrase. But more so in this situation, Joe Biden addressed young transgenders, and he said, your president has your back. We're going to pass the Equality Act. I do not believe that this regime could care less about young transgenders. They are simply a tool. They're a tool to accomplish the destruction of the Judeo-Christian family concept in our society, to turn it on its head, to destroy gender, to destroy the proper gender roles, and to fundamentally destroy what holds together Western society. And I can guarantee you something, mark it down, as soon as they accomplish that, their concern for transgenderism, for homosexuality, lesbianism, whatever, will evaporate. Utterly evaporate. Now, what form that will take will sort of depend on the nature of the final outcome of the revolution. Remember, these people believe that there's about four times as many people on Earth as we need to have on Earth. They want to see 3 out of 4 living people dead. They don't want you having children. They want to see a massive population collapse that can be managed enough that they don't lose their elite status. They don't lose their riches. They don't lose their comforts. That's a tough job. I feel for them. It's a tough job to figure that out, how to kill off three quarters of the Earth's population, but you still get to have your filet mignon. That's hard work. I get it. I understand. But they don't care about transgenderism. It is a tool. It's nothing more than a tool. Read Saul Alinsky's book. The issue is never the issue. The issue is always irrelevant. It's power. It's getting the power, maintaining the power. You use issues. That's why Obama was for and then against and then for, because the issue doesn't matter. You use the issues to gain the power. You use the power to oppress others, to really oppress them. Not this microaggression foolishness that people live in today. You want real oppression? Then go walk the halls of the Stasi prison in East Germany. There you'll that was oppression. That was the real stuff. Go visit the Holodomor memorials in Ukraine. To the millions, not hundreds of thousands, millions of people who died a slow, painful, starving to death is not the way to go. Get run over by a truck. If you got to go, that's the way to go. Starvation stinks. But he did it because he could. Because his worldview allowed him to. That's oppression. That's oppression. Now, the funny thing is, the people who died in Ukraine were primarily peasants and farmers, not the people in the cities. The frightening thing today is so many of us live in cities. We don't have gardens. I couldn't even have a garden. I have a rock lawn, and we sprayed stuff on it that's supposed to keep weeds from growing forever. So good luck getting anything to grow on that again. We live in cities. we have to get in vehicles, or somebody else has to get into a vehicle, and go to stores that have to be supplied from outside the city. If all of a sudden those supplies stopped, these cities would collapse upon themselves in less than 24 hours. The bloodshed would be incredible. And outside of full-scale military intervention, the death toll would be astonishing. So I've always, for decades, without even thinking about what could have happened, what could happen in the future, because most of us thought it could never happen here. But I thought for decades, man, there is such a thin veneer of civilization that could be ripped and torn by so many things. So many things. I mean, let's put it this way. In light of what critical theory has done to the fabric of our society, I look back at medieval societies. And when the plague hit, and that was a real pandemic, okay, that was the real thing. 50 to 75% mortality rates, okay? It was the real thing. Society didn't collapse. It didn't collapse. In some ways, it had to adapt to a whole lot fewer people, obviously. But in general, society did not collapse. The societal order continued. I can guarantee you, if something hit us that at a 50 to 75% mortality rate, there would be no societal order. No, there wouldn't be. Wouldn't happen. What's the difference? It was an ordered medieval society with deep Christian roots. And nobody thought they were just ugly bags of mostly water. Nobody thought they were stardust. Nobody thought they were chemicals fizzing. That's why they wondered why God would allow something like this. And sometimes they came up with wrong answers as to why. But the fact that they recognized the difference between cosmic justice and temporal justice allowed the society to continue, even in the midst of that kind of massive death. No secular society could survive that. Wouldn't happen. Wouldn't happen. People be turning on each other so fast, not even funny. Not even funny. So, as Christians, what do you say to a world that is intent upon taking your children and cramming it into their brains that they shouldn't use terms like mommy and daddy, that they shouldn't be looking forward to getting married and having children, that in fact it's irresponsible for them to think about having children? Saw a series of tweets within the past 72 hours of someone saying, I really want to have a child, but I'm just torn because I realize this would be a Western child, and Western children are not sustainable. The natural desire created by God for this woman to have a child, to love that child, to nurture that child, destroyed by the secular mindset that sees no purpose in what God is doing, because there is no God and there is no purpose to begin with. Secularism is dehumanizing. It is dehumanizing. It's destructive to human flourishing. It's destructive to human thought, destructive to human life, destructive to human families. And as I said, it is the greatest enemy that I can imagine that has reared its flag against the name of Jesus. Its destruction is necessary. But it is in and of itself destructive of human life. And so I can't prove this. I just throw this out here. And I want other Christians to think about it. But if it is Christ's intention to crush this enemy under his feet, and the last enemy that must be defeated is death itself, well, this is the culture of death. This is the culture of death. This is the culture that loves abortion. This is a culture that thinks it's cool to experiment on unborn babies. This is a culture that if you would dare to even slightly limit their freedom to end a pregnancy, you are a backwards Neanderthal and they will punish you. This is a culture of death. This is a culture of death that says you shouldn't have children. That you should mutilate healthy young bodies so they can never have children. Out of confusion and rebellion against God's decree about male and female. What does it look like when that enemy of Christ is crushed? Is it not possible that allowing this system to destroy itself in self-immolation, and that may be a massive, huge event, self-immolation in such a way that it becomes a watchword for the rest of time? Never again. Never again can we dare to look at mankind as being anything other than the creation of God. Look what'll happen. We'll start experimenting on our genes. We'll start creating freakish stuff because we're stupid and arrogant and rebellious, and think we know everything there is to know. Look at what we unleashed on ourselves. Think that might happen? I don't know. I don't know. But we have to be prepared. We have to communicate to our children and to our children's children who they really are in a way that will resonate with them in a way that they will understand and that will survive the constant. See, folks, when you study church history, when you study history as a whole, you discover that Christians are really good at resisting short, intense persecution. People you would never expect will stand tall and say, I will not deny Christ. The enemy knows this. And so, when you look at North Africa, you're looking at a geographic place that was once 90% Christian. It's now 98% Muslim. And it's not, as you may have been told by some, because the Muslims came in and put a sword to your neck and said, convert or die. Did that happen? Yeah, in some places, but generally, no. Generally, that's not what was done. Instead, you used the slow burn method. You used the daily pressure method. You used the Christians can never rise above being janitors in our society method. You can never have the opportunities we will have. You can never have the power, the societal advancement, the homes, the health. You make Christians pay every single day for being Christians. That's the effective way. That's the long-term methodology. And we have to build foundations We have to preach and teach and pray that by the Spirit's power, you build a foundation that can stand up to the daily grind, as well as the massive one-time instant challenge as well. You can have certain substances that are extremely hard and can survive the sudden impact of an explosion, for example. But that will come apart over time, will be worn down over time by something as little as a stream flowing over it. Building a foundation can survive both isn't easy. It is not easy. Pastors, my dear brothers, maybe you're like me. I'm going to be very honest here. Be very honest here. That sermon that I preached, that I just talked about in Iron Sharpens Iron, most people look at me only as an apologist, and that is primarily what I do, but I am a pastor. I do love my folks. I want the best for them. And I preach that sermon because I don't want some of them to come to me 5 years from now and they've experienced persecution and we didn't at least try to prepare them, try to give them the tools they would need. I can't walk with every one of them through those fiery trials, just as they can't walk with me. If it comes to us, it's probably going to come to the pastors first. And I don't for a second sit here and go, and I'm going to be just fine. Outside of the grace of God, there's not a one of us that would ever stand. But I feel the pressure when I have opportunity of preaching. It's almost like going back to the old ways and the old days. It's really hard to do. You know, I need to continue my series on baptism. Baptism is an important thing. You can't just stop preaching about fundamental foundational things. But every time I start thinking about it, I also realize there are new pressing issues. The vast majority of my church homeschools. There are a couple folks that have Christian schools. That's great. But the vast majority of our folks are homeschoolers. And I'm not a prophet, but it seems really obvious to me that the regime is setting things up to go after homeschooling. That just seems patently obvious. Yeah, it's unavoidable. Their whole worldview demands it. It just demands it. So I find myself struggling, to be perfectly honest with you, to do regular sermons because I see these challenges on the horizon and they're coming fast. And so I think that comes a little bit from that, again, that schizophrenia, that my day-to-day world still bears a lot of resemblance to where it once was. I just don't get to go in stores and things like that. Don't travel anymore. Will be, by the way, might as well announce this, will be, don't forget, I'll be in Pryor, Oklahoma. Good old Pryor. Been there before. Derek Melton and the folks there in Pryor, Oklahoma. I think this is probably, Derek, what is it, about fourth time? Fifth time? Lose track after a while. But last year I did drive through. I did. Did I mention the breakfast that Derek and I had in Pryor? Remember that had about, I'd say a month's worth of bacon, and it was good bacon. I had a month's worth of bacon. And any other restaurant you would have gone through, a month's worth of bacon. That was so good. The text from Tulsa. Don't ever let me do this again. That was right after a really wicked rainstorm. I mean, I could not see where I was going. The safety stuff on the Subaru turned off, said, we can't see where we're going either. That was pretty bad. Anyway, I'm going to be in Pryor, and Derek has asked me to speak on the doctrines of grace. Obviously, I will be attaching them. Well, there'll probably be an element to that presentation that will be a little bit different than what we've done in the past. But that'll be the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of May in Pryor. I know Derek's been posting the stuff. I've posted it on my stuff. We probably need to try to get that on the website someplace because I don't go almost anywhere else anymore. And then when we do G3, I know that before and after I'm hoping to get through Lyndale. I haven't talked to Tom about that yet, but hopefully get through Lyndale or Dallas, maybe see some of our friends there in Dallas again. It's on the way as I will be driving to do that. So, look at that. That's 1 month. 1 month from well, 4 weeks. 4 weeks from tomorrow. Just 4 weeks. Well, no. 1, 2, 3. 3 weeks. Wow. Ooh. Yeah, so 3 weeks from tomorrow, we will be in Pryor. So keep that in mind. I was just simply saying things have changed so much. No traveling, very little traveling differently now. All that stuff I built up with American Airlines, poof, irrelevant now, gone. Well, actually, I still have it till February of next year, but who cares? All that gone, and now having to learn how to use an RV. That'll be interesting. Anyways, I think it is that schizophrenia that is making it difficult for me to dive into the next subject I need to address in the baptism series is the baptism of John. Well, that's a vitally important thing. I get it. But at the same time, the Equality Act is going through Congress, and that's going to have massive implications for every person in that room, their jobs, their education, the existence of our church, everything. So it's a challenge. Then again, I suppose that's not something new. There was stuff going on in the Roman Empire while Paul was preaching on all sorts of things, including writing letters to Corinth about baptism while the emperor was doing wild and crazy stuff. So it's not the first time that this type of thing has happened. I fully recognize that. I fully recognize that. So anyways. All right. Well, that was a rambler. But when you have someone. Well, I'm just looking at the clock and I'm used to starting at 3 o'clock. So, hey, we will get done. We get done and we're pretty much done. So that's just all there is to it. Feel free to turn on the Rich Cam and do what you want. You turn on this camera and there's not going to be anybody sitting here. So there you go. I've been sitting in here for 3 hours. So I'm tired and I'm done. So there you go. Thanks for watching the program. Lord willing, we'll be back with you next week. If I don't, just collapse and die on the last bit of this little thing that I'm doing this week, but I don't think we will. So we'll see you then. Thanks for watching. God bless.